Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Kids, do you like professional wrestling? We like professional wrestling. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Chris Novembrino. This is Shake Them Ropes. That's a cat behind you. Okay, yeah. Okay, I thought that looked like a dog behind your left shoulder there.
No.
Because
no,
it was blending into the chair. So it's like,
We talked about the dog story, right? Did we do that one on air?
I think so.
Yeah, the puppy that I had to get rid of.
Oh. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. So, yeah.
Also, Chris has gotten rid of his mustache and any facial hair. He is clean shaven for this show.
Yeah, I've just decided to really recommit to the podcast and the broadcast arts broadly.
Is that all it takes? Is shaving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you ever do radio?
Yes.
Are you familiar with radio?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and radio, having a good shave helps a lot with capturing the listener's attention and creating an aura of mystique. There's a lot of mystique around a clean shave.
We're already annoying to people on our own network, so you know, whatever.
which ones?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Many. I always say that's our reputation.
Name them, show their faces.
Oh, no, we don't get any feedback from them. We get feedback. I mean, like, you know, the flagship gets feedback. We just kind of like, we're here, and that's cool. We've been here for a long time. So,
and some people even say they like your half of the show. Well,
speaking of which, Chris, am I fed-pilled?
Oh God. Yeah, no, you are, you are like, honestly, one of the biggest Johnny WWEs I have ever seen in my life. It's obnoxious. That... You're always like, Chris, get a load of what happened on Main Event this week. And I'm like, that shit's still on?
Velocity.
Oh God, you're a love Velocity this week.
What's the
good match?
I was trying to think of the name.
Shotgun Saturday Night.
No, I was trying to think of the name of the new show where it's like nothing but like matches in under 5 minutes. It's like, all right, that's fine. No, I'm a longtime follower who basically writes, well, you know, you gotta kind of admit you've gotten a bit fed-pilled because you say you like some things about WWE. I'm like, I like things about everything, guys. I'm not, I have no dog in the fight.
I'll go further. I think we've been very clear that we enjoy the McMahonless eras of WWE. The short one prior to this, we liked a lot. And
I enjoy AEW.
The short McMahon run, or the short McMahonless run prior to this, is when the bloodline really started to take off.
That was the Sami Zayn. Yeah,
that was the catalyst
thing.
Yeah. It was the catalyst for what I would say is this new era. And so basically the story to me of WWE over the last like 3 years has been the transition away from Vince. And as we've been getting further and further away from him, we see a much better product. There's a lot of good wrestling minds in that company that have had ideas, many of which have been sitting on backlog for a long time. So you're getting a lot of people with ideas that they've had in the hopper, getting to execute some of these ideas. So they're refined. And there's a lot to enjoy on this show right now.
There's a lot to enjoy in all of wrestling right now. It's really,
I would go there too. I thought AEW had a very strong week despite what the numbers say. Like, I know we're going to talk about the infographic and everything like that, but like putting that to the side, the numbers don't lie, and they spell maybe not disaster for AEW, but they're not a good look over 90 days. I would say that this last weekend here was a very, very strong recalibration of the company in a way that seems to be, just seems to have a long-term picture to it that makes some sense too.
I would agree. Look, I'm gonna make an effort because look, I'm a little tougher on AEW. I will admit at times I'm tougher on them because I see more potential in them for a company I can watch week after week in hopes that it will get away from the WWE stuff. But you know, if the WWE stuff is going to get loosey goosey, as it obviously did, like Monday night was like the loosest I've ever seen commentary in like years. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Commentary was super loose.
Hey, Sting had a great match and shut up and call this one Pat, please.
But they didn't fully shut it down either. I mean,
Cole went to shut it down. Well, I mean, they mentioned Sting.
No, Pat didn't like, you know, he didn't let McAfee get going off the blocks on it. But like, they acknowledged that Sting had a retirement match.
Yeah,
that was a planned spot.
That is a forward step for this backwards company at times. So let's give them their flowers on that one.
Yeah, no, I think it's fine. And I know there are some people who are mad that WWE didn't give AEW a bunch of footage to use for their final recap package. But frankly, I think the final recap package looked fine without it. It would have been nice to have more.
Yes.
But like, you know, I think the big thing for me, and no surprise to anyone who's listened to the show before, the big thing missing from the recap package is his classic feud with Vader.
Joker Sting from TNA doesn't because TNA yeah, didn't not, give any footage either. So, but
yeah, not having any of that
to that point, we don't know if they asked. And you know what? We don't know if it was offered. It might have been offered willy nilly. I'm sure they would have taken it in that thing, but I don't know how these phone calls go. I'm fine with that, but yes, we will get to ice cold thoughts. Or ice cold takes on Revolution in a bit. A little bit of news. Speaking of AEW, the debut, Kazuchika Okada on this week's Dynamite. Tokyo Sports, take this with a grain of salt. They're kind of a Pro Wrestling Illustrated type publication, claiming that's a 3-year for 2 billion yen, that comes out to 4.5 million a year in American dollars. Okada said to be relocating here to the States. I would assume Florida, but the wife is in show business, so it might be California. Enjoy the taxes. Okada coming out at first appearing to be helping Eddie Kingston and then gives him the Rainmaker, associating with the Young Bucks, the EVPs. He is also now officially part of the Elite. I will say the good, and then I will give my nitpick. The good is that he's not part of the Best Friends and Chaos, thankfully. He is with a top heel group in AEW. I would have kept his aura a little bit, to be honest with you. I would have, you know, hyped a presentation. I would have hyped a debut. I would have, instead of a surprise, I know Tony loves his surprises, but I think you market these things so that people will watch. I just don't know if the Continental Classic triple threat with the New Japan Strong, the Ring of Honor World title, and whatever the AEW title is in this, I think, or is it All Japan? I can't remember the three titles. I'm an idiot right now. I apologize. I think we've done the belt collector gimmick already in AEW with Kenny. I just, it's one of those weird things where I feel like you introduce him into the main event picture as opposed to, hey, here's a starter belt. I don't know. But, you know, I'm happy he's not with the best friends and cutting jokes with Danhausen. And, you know, the Bucks aren't the most serious heels in the world yet, but they're getting more evil. And I didn't mind the debut all that much. Chris, what did you think?
Look, the visual of Okada the Rainmaker with his two bucks makes a lot of sense. I think what's important here is essentially that he is the focus point of this faction and not Matt and Nick.
Yes.
That essentially this is their bloodline, in a way that Okada's the one who's kind of like, acknowledge me. And if, you know, to sort of reference the other show, I think there needs to be sort of an important moment, not unlike where Roman stops The Rock this week on Raw and is like, that's neat. If you smell it, that, acknowledge me. that was a very important beat in that story to make sure that this is still a Roman Reigns story and that Dwayne Johnson is the supporting character. And Okada needs to have a similar type of moment with the Young Bucks here in the next week or two, where he establishes this is not the elite anymore.
This is not the EVP story. This is
The franchise. I'm the effing franchise, guys.
I'm the main character.
Story. I'm the main character. You guys are supporting character. You're my vice presidents.
Oh, that's good. Oh, he turns out you guys are my vice presidents.
Yeah, you're my vice presidents. Yeah.
Look, Okada looks badass in a suit.
Debuting him as a heel is a great fresh coat of paint. It works really great with where the roster is being balanced right now. I love the idea of, for example, Okada just absolutely crushing Swerve Strickland's dreams along this path of destruction.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but we could.
I think it should. I think it should. And then Swerve is mad at Okada in the chase for Okada's belt eventually. I think obviously they did a good job setting up an Okada Omega match down the line. I think that's a good seed planted. Question of, an 8 million star match back in 2018, but 2018 was a long time ago. I know it's 8 million stars, and adjusted for inflation, that's nearly 10 million now in today's money. But I think, time does get the best of us. And I think for me, it's like, I didn't want Okada to come to AEW so he could have a feud with Kenny Omega. I saw that. If you're a fan of that, then you saw that already. What you're looking for now is him against Darby Allin. You're looking for him against, even Adam Copeland's an interesting
fan. You don't want him to play the hits.
Yeah,
And I get, I think there was a graphic where it's, I think it was the 2017 Wrestle Kingdom. Now all four of the top guys from there, Jay White, Ospreay, Omega, and Okada. Do we have too many heels up at the top, given that we have, Ospreay's still a heel, but he's going to turn.
He's not a heel. He's
Jay White. Who knows what he is? Cause he's in a babyface faction, but we have a lot of this going on with like Danielson.
Jay White's one of the finest Seth Rollins cover bands I've ever seen.
Oh man. You can reach Chris, DOCTOR_Nove at Instagram. Please come to the Discord and nail him for it. On the Voices of Wrestling Discord, hashtag shake-them-ropes channel. Come find him. Come tell him why he's wrong.
Really lay into me. It's been nearly 2 months since I've opened the app, so.
I had to find your new your new username, by the way. I didn't.
Oh, they made me update it. Yeah, they made me like change it or whatever.
Because it used to be just Nove, and now it's Dr. Nove. I was like,
yeah, they had maybe change it. They're like, Nove is not, you know, enough.
Look, it's a positive. Again, I the surprise stuff. It's a little too cute, and we're gonna talk about it when we get to the ratings.
I think the too cutesy stuff is, you know, what are we doing with Adam Page and the indefinite suspension? And
that thing is a time off thing, though.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's the thing. That's also why they did the injury angle at first, because he might have had to miss the pay per view. It's a personal thing. Nobody knows what it is. So okay. I'll give him some leeway on that one.
Okay.
WWE Hall of Fame announcing its first two inductees to be inducted in Philadelphia on Friday after that SmackDown. First, of course, the king of Philadelphia, Paul Heyman, going in. He will be. I think he's going to be the marquee guy. No announcements on inductions, but the second name announced, Bull Nakano, who I think wrestled a total of 5 matches for WWE, but still one of the most legendary women's wrestlers ever. Even those matches he wrestled for WWE, I mean, might have been 3, might have been 5.
Well, and now that they own the WCW catalog, that does actually expand, you know, the repertoire of stuff that she is on that they have license to.
Bull Nakano wasn't in ECW.
She was in WCW.
Oh, WCW. I thought you said ECW.
No. She did some WCW stuff.
She's
fought Medusa a number of times in WCW.
She's great. Jeff may have shot his shot with Bull Nakano once. she got suspended for drugs back in her heyday for WWE. Or she was on the downswing, I think, at that time. But she had Medusa under the name Alunder Blaze. Had a couple of really good matches during that time. And of course, the All Japan women stuff is sublime. If you watch her match against Aja Kong, it's fantastic. Anything with Manami Toyota and Aja Kong and Bull Nakano and others is just going to be great. She is, she was managing / authority figure for the Rise promotion, which was an offshoot of Shimmer, that they were running shows in LA, and also Rossi from Stardom was somehow involved in all that. There's some fun shows that I went to that she was at. Her and Medusa were like seconding opposite people on the sides. Who's the wolf? Chris Wolf was one of the wrestlers involved too. No, a lot of fun. But congratulations to her. More announcements forthcoming. Have you watched any Bull Nakano?
Yeah.
The WCW stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a minute. My thought on Bill Nakano, like right now, right this second, is she'd be a really fun, like, mentor manager figure for Rhea Ripley. Like when they want to break Rio away from the Judgment Day.
Yeah, but you know what they're going to, she can't really talk all that much. She does. She's not
a great. No. She doesn't need to. She could be the outside menacing force.
Yeah, but I could see them replacing Dakota Kai for damage control and putting Bull Nakano with Asuka, Kairi.
That would be dope. That'd be fun.
I'd be all over that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Actually, I mean, you.
Heck,
you know,
put her with Dakota.
I don't see. She actually would not be an unwelcome on-screen addition, not necessarily in ring, but just like as a presence or whatever, just to add a little bit more, you know, gravitas to the roster.
I would assume they're going to pay a lot of money for Medusa a decent amount. They're going to throw some money Medusa's way to induct her. I think that's going to be the move.
Yeah,
I don't know who's going to induct Heyman. Tommy Dreamer works for TNA.
And is there a reason why Brock wouldn't be chosen?
Brock is kind of named in that Vince.
He did the thing. That's right.
The sex trafficking thing.
I guess you wouldn't want him on TV because he did the thing.
I'm not sure if you were setting me up for that or if you're honest.
It was absolutely a setup.
Good.
Yeah,
I was worried that you had forgotten.
No, God, no. I was being just a deadpan asshole.
Story that we missed. Oh, you had something else. Sorry.
No, that's it. It does open up the question of like, who is inducting Heyman?
Who's gonna say something nice about Paul Heyman? That's gonna be the
it. That's the thing, right? Is like of all those ECW guys, I don't know. Look, everyone could go out there and give him his due, but it's like not without qualification, because to give him his due without qualification would be like so unfair. To be like, he was a hardcore visionary and he was looking out for the little guy. He was fighting these guys who were down on their luck, and he lifted them up and he gave them a good payday and he took care of all of his people, and he was always on time with the money.
He lied to some people. He bounced checks to others. He stooged others off to the office. I am actually, you know what? Would be funny irony would be Stephanie McMahon inducting him. You know that story where he was spying on the creative meetings of Stephanie McMahon and stuff. Just
like
you
basically just have to, you know, say the guy's an all-time great promo. He is.
The safe choice is Roman. It really is. Because that's the one guy who will stick to the script. It's not going to be anything deep necessarily. There's going to be a few shots about, you know, his time in WCW and maybe the AWA and maybe ECW and, oh, bounce checks, he's cheap, blah, blah, blah. You know, those types of things.
Yeah, like a roast. Kind of do like a roast sort of thing of, yeah, like, you know, we all know Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman loves the truth. See?
Story we missed last week. Rob Fee, a name we have mentioned here before, is now in charge of character development for WWE. If you recall, he was previously hired to be in charge of lore for the Fiend character. But it's an interesting position to create for somebody in charge of character development. Now, back in the day, they used to have files of character ideas and stuff like that. And they, you know, they bring them out. Okay, we have ideas for, you know, the infamous story that I don't think is true, but it might be true, is that, hey, we have two gimmicks. We have the Red Rooster and we have Mr. Perfect. And we have two wrestlers, Terry Taylor and Kurt Hennig. Which one should we give the Red Rooster to, and which one should we give to Mr. Perfect? Because the rumor is that Terry Taylor was almost Mr. Perfect. I don't believe that for a second, but it's a part of, you know, it's a part of legend. But
yeah, I just don't believe that they were ultimately going to make Terry Taylor Mr. Perfect. You know what he ended up actually being pretty good at?
Backstage interviewing.
Yeah.
No, you and I have watched that show.
Yeah, that's right.
King of the Ring or whatever.
Yeah.
The first one. Yeah, no, he was great at that. That dude has lasted in wrestling, Terry Taylor, like 30 some odd years, like longest thing. And nobody ever says a good word about him, which is weird because it's like he seems fairly harmless at times.
I thought he was a solid wrestler. Not like he's not like my favorite or whatever, but like, you know, old school Terry
his
Taylor.
UWF run when he
yeah,
was
yeah, it was fine. He was a perfectly good wrestler. Yeah, he's a good solid baby face. You know, nothing. Again, not like gonna, you know, blow you away, but you know, I liked him.
Sammy Guevara has apparently been suspended.
This is a very strange little story.
No official word on why, but this is all rumor and innuendo. So we will talk about it just a little bit without getting too far into it. The not so official story was for hitting his finisher on a concussed Jeff Hardy. Problem with that story is, of course, he did that match against Will Hobbs after that Rampage taping. And then also, if Jeff Hardy was not able to take that move, the doctor probably should have stopped the match or something like that. It might be he defied a referee order. We don't know. But it is very strange. Sammy Guevara, not a stranger to having some personnel issues backstage. It's been in a couple fights, Eddie Kingston and Andrade El Idolo. rumored to want to jump to the other company because he's friends with Cody Rhodes, but that's not, you know, that's not anything worth reporting or putting out there. Yeah, just a weird story, like you said, Chris.
It is. It's particularly weird, like Paul Turner not suspended. So,
and Paul Turner's their best official.
Right, and he was the guy who was in the ring
yeah.
at the time with the whole match. So either he relayed him. I tried to like put this together, and it like something's like there's a chair missing from the table, but I don't know like what that missing chair is. But if you believe that the sequence of events that they're saying that's all in ring based, the only thing that's plausible is that Turner said, "Nah, something's wrong with him. Don't do it, Sammy." And Sammy's like, "F that. I don't care if something's wrong with him." Like, or like, something's always wrong with him. He's Jeff Hardy. And then he did his finishing move. That's, I mean, that I guess would be a pun. But then you have the Hobbs match, which happens afterwards. That's like, okay.
It might be, hey, you were booked for this. You need to finish it. Then we'll suspend you.
Right.
Which then, doesn't really teach a lesson there, but okay.
Right. Right. I mean, if any, it doesn't teach a lesson. If that was actually the strategy, and I know there's been some speculation around like his selling in that match or whatever, but if that was actually the strategy, then you, what you were telling somebody by giving them that match right after the disqualifying match, let's say, is that you are of utility to us. And it sends the exact wrong message.
Yes.
That like everything we're about to do after this is performative because we still, you know, we need you to do this. Because they could have had anyone go out and have that match with Hobbs. I guess that's the part that really baffles me. Is if like Sammy was in the doghouse at the time of the match with Hobbs, then why send him out there?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, and if you're going to do like Carney justice and have like Hobbs beat the crap out of Guevara as like a punishment that's goofy. And I also don't think that's what happened either.
There's another rumor that's developing in our situation, but in AEW, but I'm going to wait until official news comes out, involves an announcer. So we'll wait. TKO.
Oh, can I just say that on the pay-per-view, I think it was a pay-per-view. No, I'm sorry. It was on Dynamite. Taz said one of his funniest lines that he's ever said, which was the line about Cage, Brian Cage, when Brian Cage was going to grab the microphone cable. And he's like, uh-oh, Cage might start cutting a promo, and that won't be good for anybody.
how true that is.
And no, I know. It was one of his best off-the-cuff jokes of all time.
Sometimes he hits, man. Him and, Nigel. Yeah. The Rock now owns all of his IP as part of him taking his chair on the board of directors for TKO, including the nickname Rock and Know Your Role and Shut Your Mouth, You Jabroni. In addition to other things he owns, he now owns, of course, all the logos and stuff, as well as If You Smell What the Rock is Cooking, the Brahma Bull, the Samoan Sensation, the Great One, Rock Bottom, Rocky Maivia, Team Corporate, Rock Nation, The Nation, get that one to D-Lo, Rudy Poo, Candy Ass, The Blue Chipper, The People's Champion, The Great One, Team Bring It, The Rock Just Bring It, The People's Elbow, Finally The Rock Has Come Back To, It Doesn't Matter What, Blue Hell, The Millions and Millions, Rockpocalypse, Project Rock, and The Most Exciting Man in Sports and Entertainment. Celebrate, The Rock went on old Twitter X and cut a 20 some odd minute promo, obscenity laced. So if you have kids, I won't listen to it in the car, but taking shots at both Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, which was kind of interesting compared to what they did on television. But yeah, you and I both watched that 20 minute promo.
I liked
promo.
It. I thought it was entertaining. I think that Rock is doing very entertaining work right now. If anything, seeing Raw, I felt did a disservice to the Rock promo, because it's like, calling him Diarrhea Dwayne.
Thank you. I had this on my lazy room.
Calling
river,
him Diarrhea Dwayne absolutely pulls any of the intrigue to watching this and makes you feel dumb for getting into the plot of this.
They had 4 days to come up with a comeback, and that's what they came up with?
No. I'm sorry. Like, from a writing standpoint, this is sort of like breaking an improv rule to me of, like, yes and, right? Like, only, like, from a creative writing standpoint. Like, an improv, for those of you not initiated the yes and rule, is like, someone drops a premise out there.
Are you telling me about improv right now?
Not you. Do you only listen to, like, a third of what I say?
I don't listen. I'm not a good improviser.
You listen to...
I wait to talk.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
I know. It's keywords and talking. I got it. So, for those of you not familiar with the yes and rule, for those of you not familiar, not Jeff. No, I know you heard that your name, though.
I'm a terrible improviser. What are you talking about?
I figured you hearing your name would cue into that as a keyword. like a pet, like a lost pet.
No, go ahead and explain improv to everybody.
I will. Thank you. If that's all right with you, I get around to it. I mean, you know, doesn't matter. Yeah, I got things I can think about. So, anyways, the yes and rule is someone puts out a premise like I am driving a car. If you go, no, you aren't. That does not do a service. It's honestly kind of like what Jeff has been doing here in the 2 minutes of build up to me finally explaining yes and, where he's just crapping on it and crap.
You're frustrating your want is what I'm doing.
You're rejecting the radio. You're rejecting the radio premise.
All right.
And you're frustrating my want. Are you? You want you think it's so funny to frustrate my want?
Yes.
Okay.
Or a comedy, then I'll heighten it a bit.
Yeah, all right. Won't we all have our kids?
I'll take away the weight.
Man, you want to see frustrated once. But Daddy moved to New Mexico for a reason.
Yes, if you say I'm driving a car, no, you're not. You're sailing a boat.
Punching
a baby. You're doing whatever. Yeah.
And basically what Cody and Seth did on Monday was sort of this rejection of the premise. Like, Dwayne Johnson put out an argument. He explained why he actually had a story. And the most compelling part of that promo to me is Cody Rhodes. When they came up with this whole thing about the table, they set up this collision course between Roman Reigns and me. And they'd been setting this up for literally 4 years. You talk about completing this story or whatever. This is a story that, you know, for Roman Reigns and myself has been in motion for a very, very long time. And like, that's a pretty damn strong argument. Now, Cody Rhodes, the blocking on Monday was to me off a little bit too, because you need to have Cody and Seth come out after Roman and Rock have that promo where Roman asserts himself over the Rock, mm-hmm. and have Cody go, everything you said in that 20-minute thing was bullshit. Like, at that point, you can call him Diarrhea Dwayne. I would think it's still like a schoolyard, you know, crappy nickname. But you call BS on his whole, oh, what about the collision course, Dwayne? You just like bent the knee to Roman Reigns. So yeah, the collision course just took an off ramp. You know, like, my story is the only real story here. You just proved it. There's some things missing here. But I actually think for Dwayne's part, he did a good job in this little 20-minute promo. Like, enough stuff was there. It was well edited. I thought his delivery was good. He doesn't feel stale in this character. It doesn't feel like there's like some degree of freshness.
No, the one character who feels stale is Seth.
Yeah,
actually, because Seth's still doing his Groundlings sketch comic stuff, and you're just like, I did like the interplay of like some of the interviews from Perth and things of that nature into the video where it's like, here's what I'm referring to if you haven't seen this right now.
Yeah,
no, it was very well done.
I thought that was it clued you in and it got you engaged in the story. And here's the other thing. This is a story that needs to be done through talking. Like, Dwayne Johnson's not going to have a banger match. He hasn't had a banger match in 20 years. He's the Rock. Like, he goes out there, he does the Rock Bottom, he does the People's Elbow. You get like a kip up if you're lucky. You get a suplex or two. He's John Cena. That's all you're gonna get out of this guy is a John Cena style match. It's all about the talking, and I think, you know, in terms of the talking, the Rock's rocking.
Mike Santana has been fired from AEW. I don't think that's official, but I believe it's official. I think Fightful reported it.
Who's Mike Santana?
Santana from Proud and Powerful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Jim Ross signed a new deal with AEW. He thinks it's for 1 year. I laughed at that. Dave was reporting that on Wrestling Observer Radio this morning. But yeah, Jim Ross.
Does he not read his contracts?
I don't know. I don't know why we paid for Jim Ross, but I'm
happy to be back here for the next two.
And putting him on main events of shows, and he's just lost his fastball as the lead. It's so obvious. Let him be the third wheel. I know it's gonna hurt his pride. I get it. But if he's the one,
he can't carry a Sting match, he can't cook. What I mean? Yeah, that's all there is to it. Like, Jim Ross should have been able to carry a Sting match. I'm sorry.
I get the history, but yeah.
He had forever to prepare. He had one match.
Yeah.
It's not like he had a whole card, Jeff. He doesn't have to do Dynamite before it.
He could take a nap.
He could have napped the whole week leading up to it, including during part of the show. They could have woken him up 90 minutes prior, got him a little bit of coffee, a couple of trucker speed pills, and he should have been able to go out. Yeah, no, hell yeah. Let's go, Jim. Get him out there, and he does that one match.
Trucker speed. As we've been kind of alluding to, I have one rating, and it's from last night. Dynamite, 779,000 viewers, 0.27 in the demo. Lowest in a year. Lowest rated segment, Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. So I'm not going to say, the ship sinking or anything like that, but here was my one takeaway. If I'm AEW, I would have 20 minutes after getting this had an ad buy screaming to the top of my lungs that the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks is going to be on our TV next week. Hey, Disney freaks, the woman from The Mandalorian is going to be on Dynamite next week. Hey, anybody who will listen, the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks is going to be, instead, we're just, hey, it's big business, big business, big business. I understand they are playing for their base, and that part works because everybody's in on the surprise. But it's one of those things where it's like, do the hard sell now, guys. I mean, Okada should have been a big deal to do a hard sell on. Ospreay should have been a big deal to do a hard sell on. They love the surprises and the wink, wink. Everybody knows they're probably showing up anytime now type of a thing. But you got to try.
Yeah, don't. This is a bad time of the year to be clever because it's WrestleMania season for the other company.
It's WrestleMania season. You're going to have a lot of sports at this time. Opening day of baseball, NCAA tournament, the NBA and NHL are in the home stretch going into their playoffs. It's
football
one of those
is back, baby.
Well, not yet. Well, off season football is there. Oh yeah,
there
the
you
XFL.
Go. XFL.
The Rock's XFL.
That's true. It is his.
It is his football league.
I want him to plug it, like. Plug the league, baby.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a bit that was about to go there. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I know Tony is online and I know he lurks bored still and things like that. But you're not, I mean,
Especially looking at the Bucks and Okada this week, to me, the move with Mercedes Moné is to debut her as the fourth member of the Young Bucks Okada faction.
I agree with that. I put that out there on my Wednesday night show.
That's the move. You have her if Okada's. You have her and Okada
essentially takes Kenny's place.
They're kind of the click.
Yeah.
And if they decide to shove away the Bucks at some point, it's really that alignment between Okada and Mercedes Moné.
Don't think that's happening. I think what's happening is because we've been kind of teasing it. I think Willow Nightingale goes heel on Saturday or whenever she's facing Riho. I think that's Saturday. Don't quote me on that. Or it's next week. And then they're gonna position the rematch of that New Japan women's title with Sasha or with Mercedes as the babyface. And she's gonna come in and be the babyface ace of the women's division. I think that's where they're going with this. I love the idea of her being part of the Elite and being, you know, because her and Okada had that moment in New Japan where they're both standing in the middle of the ring holding up their titles and stuff, and they look like $1 million to me. I love them as a package deal.
I like them as a package deal. I think she works as the top heel in the women's division because Toni Storm's goofy ass gimmick needs to be babyface at this point.
Yes.
So you make her the sentimental babyface, and then when Sasha takes the title from Toni, Toni can be apoplectic, and then you can have Mariah May kill Toni Storm.
Go ahead.
I think that that's a good place, and then, you know, Okada and Mercedes can be collecting all of the belts and essentially using the Young Bucks to, you know, pull strings and get them the matches that they want.
And it'll be nice to have a woman in the main event stable for once.
I agree. And she can be, honestly, she can be the main voice for the stable.
Yes. I mean, she's not a great promo, but she is actually, now that I think about it,
who's the Dazzler? It's like Matt and then Mercedes.
Anybody else return this week other than Sol Ruka, which I like Sol Ruka a lot. Knee injury and all. I get a little nervous being a gymnast and being that, but I can't think of any other, comebacks, and I also didn't watch NXT. I was just wondering if anybody came back.
I think it's funny that a babyface can come back, do outside interference in a match that they have absolutely no business in, and commentary. Like, this is one of these.
He's here for revenge. It's like,
yeah,
wait,
right. Commentary finds a way to justify it. It justifies something that is not justifiable by the rules, which is the basis of why someone is a heel.
Oh, I know. Kyle O'Reilly came back as well.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly.
Very odd. I have some thoughts on this.
He's doing his emo cowboy phase.
Well, so was Swerve this week for a while on that.
He
promo.
Is also the emo cowboy. Yeah.
No, I think, boy, this Kyle O'Reilly weird. Hey, I just want to kind of do it on my own. I think he's going to snap and not necessarily play cool Kyle from NXT. But I'm thinking this is leading to a character thing. I do.
If looking the way he looks now, if he tries to be cool Kyle.
No, I don't think he's going to be trying to be cool. I think he's going to play like psychotic. Because it felt like he was almost channeling, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, touched a bit, if you know what I mean, with just kind of the wide eyes and the yeah type of a thing. I think he's gonna snap and turn into something, and I hope it's not for funny, but I think it might be for psychotic funny.
Oh god,
I don't know, but something is wrong with this presentation, Chris.
Cool Kyle. See, that's a gimmick. He's not cool, Kyle. He's psy-cool.
What was your impression of especially the promo on Wednesday from him?
Right. Okay, so, like, one, I like looked at him coming back, and I mean, yeah, like
looked like a hobo in a revolution.
He looks like a hobo. Like he looks like a hobo. The couple of years off has aged him.
Yes.
In a marked way. Like he's aged 5 years in a couple. I don't like, it didn't feel baby facey. Like I need to find my, like there was no clear direction. He was like, so that you're, I tend to think you're right. We're getting character development, not necessarily a title chase, but like, I don't know what that is. I don't
I'm
know
nervous
how to,
about it, to be honest.
I don't know how to feel about the character other than, yeah, I saw him and I was like, damn, dude, like time been kicking your ass a little bit over the last like 18 months, huh?
And that'll take us into the lazy river of wrestling criticism. Whatever we watched, whatever's on our mind, we can talk about it here. There's no rhyme or reason to it, but we generally kind of keep a little bit of structure. But starting with Ice Cold takes on Revolution, which I thought might have been their most solid top to bottom pay-per-view. I won't say it's their best pay-per-view. I won't say, you know, because I think there's some other stuff that was more top heavy. Everybody goes All Out 2021. I'd kind of agree with that. But I thought overall a solid, solid night. And Chris, I'm going to tell you something. It's something you said last week, and it ended up getting in my feels as I'm watching Sting. And that was the statement that he's symbolically beating two Vince McMahons. And it hit me, and I'm watching this, and I'm watching an old legend go out on his own terms, which is something you rarely, rarely get to see.
Matt and Nick were absolutely fantastic in yes. giving throughout this. Yeah, like they were great in this match.
Sting's kids were great, I thought. Oh.
I thought so too. I thought that the entrance, like them coming out, I had no problem with them being involved in the match. Like I like the idea that basically his kids are also kicking the two Vince McMahon proxies' ass. Like everyone's finally getting their licks in on Vince. I thought that Darby's glass spot was insane and yes. uncalled for and like actually disturbing.
News was that they had an alternate ending. They worked with a stunt coordinator, but just in case Darby didn't pull it off, the sugar glass, it still cuts. It still hurts. It still breaks. I thought it was insane and also uncalled for. I didn't understand it when they were pulling out different sheets of it.
It was, I mean, yeah, you could see the gimmicking on the glass, but like, it was the word I used before, disturbing. Like I was like watching that and it made me uncomfortable in a way that like that match didn't need. I the match was everything. It, you know, all the, you do the stage spots, you do the suplex off the stage through the gimmicked table. You don't need one of the baby faces, no less, taking an insane, like, I'm going to bleed out during this. Like, you're not, beyond everything else, Darby, it's like not your match, dude. Like, you're there as an adjunct. So I thought beyond the spot being unsettling, it was actually distracting from the main player of the match, which is Sting.
A little bit.
I mean, you need to get to the point where Sting's isolated, but I think Darby needs to be sort of isolated away in a more, just handcuff him or something. You know what I mean? Like have him just out of the fray for 5 minutes and Sting has to get the keys to Sting has to go superhuman on these two guys, finally get the keys and unlock Darby. But don't let Darby upstage what comes after. Cause I mean, that was such an intense spot that everything that happened after it for 3 minutes felt like a wash.
Like, oh my God, what happened to Darby's back? Look at that thing. It's bleeding all over the place. Yeah.
That's one of the most copious amounts of blood that I've seen spill out. I mean, in a long minute. You know, even if it's out your back, it's still a lot of blood.
Is this why you, this Everest thing, is this why you don't give people like Darby a lot of money? Because they spend it on dumb things like, I'm going to go climb Mount Everest, even though I am not a skilled mountain climber necessarily. Okay, cool. I liked the smoke and mirrors with Steamboat and Flair. Flair, very short lived. Get him out of there. Perfect. But I liked Steamboat. Steamboat was was fun to see. And it just hit me like that Sunday morning because I did a pre-show over on Fight Game Media.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's really the last, with all apologies to Jeff Jarrett and old prelim guys like Mike Jackson and George South and even Chick Donovan still doing it.
Bill Dundee had a match like a couple of years
and
Bill,
ago. Bill's having a hard time as I recall, but I can't remember what it is, but he's really the last connection to the, for lack of a better term, the regional, the regional wrestling of my youth. And, you know, sometimes you'd get it on a channel and sometimes you wouldn't type of things, you know, UWF to then. And he was really the one guy when NWA Crockett bought UWF to become a huge, huge star. Steiner, they did a good job with, but everybody else kind of went down the wayside because they didn't want to work there full time. Steve Dr. Death Williams, DiBiase jumped to WWF. Terry Taylor had that, just got ran through by Nikita Koloff in that in that unification match, and then went off to be the Red Rooster. So it's one of those things where it's just like
he had such an incredible career, and this last chapter might be the best chapter.
It's my favorite Sting of his.
Right, it might be my favorite. For as I more and more I have grown to love early 90s Sting. I think he's, you know,
I'm getting there. I really am.
Really entertaining. Yeah, he has a lot of
crap feuds, but there's a lot of entertaining stuff in there when it's like guys who, you know, here's my one shot for the title and they're going all out.
He's a fun baby face.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a really fun baby face. Like his baby face style, you know, has like a good like intensity to it, and like then he has to sell and he does that. Like he's, you know, he's a good wrestler.
He
man.
Wanted to be a work rate guy. He never quite got there, but you could tell he was trying. I mean, especially in that like that Cactus Jack match we were talking about last week, man. He's just flying all over the place for this guy that WCW sees nothing in at the time. They just put him in this title match because he could, because he took crazy bumps. Yeah, I'm gonna miss Sting. I kind of had hoped his last match would be Wembley, but that Greensboro crowd was great.
They were great. I thought that all of the Sting stuff, the close of the match was awesome.
In true WCW fashion, the satellite ran out of time as he was giving his goodbye speech.
What was his final line on broadcast? They're giving me cues.
They're giving me cues or something like that. we'll finish this on Nitro on Monday, guys.
Yeah, so good. The match itself was awesome. True WCW ending there at the show. I love that match, dude. And his AEW run has been fantastic. 8-9 times out of 10, great matches. I think as they put together their own montage of the stuff they did with him, part of the reason that video package in the theater didn't feel empty is that, we're celebrating his career, but like, this is also the end of the final chapter, and like, the chapter itself should be celebrated.
Yeah.
And this chapter has been awesome. I'm so happy in this Broadway that there are children who are 12 or 13 who got to see Sting be great. And they will always have this memory of seeing this guy Sting be great. And it won't matter to them that he was 63 years old or whatever. They're going to always have this indelible memory that they will tell for the rest of their lives. These children who might very well live to the year 2100, that they saw Sting wrestle. It's pretty crazy.
I'll let you go on anything on Revolution that you liked next.
Okay. I gotta get the Revolution card up. That's the one.
I got one queued if you mind. I loved FTR and Blackpool Combat Club. I know that there were other better matches on there, but for my feels, the number one, Blackpool Combat Club coming out in Road Warrior shoulder pads, I kind of dug it. And then there was a strange, weird role reversal for FTR that I've never seen before, but I dug. FTR was kind of playing the Rock and Roll Express in this match. Undersized baby faces who are working from underneath, and they're both playing Ricky Morton's in some way. The blood was a little much from Dax, but because I thought it was unearned where it was.
This company's got this blood problem of unearned blood. They think, if it bleeds, it pays. But I just.
It was a really good match. I was shocked that FTR lost in Greensboro, but I think they're building up BCC as something in this tournament that's going to be coming out for the world tag title thing. So I'm kind of fine with it. And I don't know, maybe it's punishment for Cash. That could, and the gun charge. That could be too. But no, I really enjoyed that. Your turn now, sir.
So I actually, it's not like a big match or anything like that. Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong, I just thought they did a nice job leading into this. My main critique of this whole show is that the outcomes were very predictable in a way that, like, in a way that made the matches a little less intriguing, but still good and entertaining. I thought Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong, predictable outcome, didn't overstay its welcome though. I thought Roddy
basically destroyed him and then moved on. Although, yeah. what was with Roddy's outfit? Coming, the mask and the bedsheet cape he was sporting. I mean, what is he doing?
We can talk about the Undisputed Era and their bizarre booking. I mean, like, having their tag team champions like goob out to Samoa Joe.
That was just. It was a bad night for Ring of Honor champions, as I said on Wednesday night. But yeah, no, that
having them goob out just makes the whole faction feel.
And what is the explanation, kayfabe, for the world champion to stick around for and team with the other guy, throw him to the wolves, and leave? because the tag titles weren't on the line. He's not necessarily making more money for being in the pay window or whatever. And then it kind of, I didn't understand why he was so upset about it either. It's like, but you know, just the booking of the match itself. I'm the big believer of the old school, a tag team, especially the greatest tag team of Ring of Honor history.
Taven and Bennett need to win that match.
Yes.
They need to win that match for a number of reasons. One, they're a tag team, and like your sort of Midnight Expressy sort of argument here. But yes. Two, we are cruising into a feud with the Undisputed Era or the Undisputed Kingdom versus Samoa Joe, where we got Wardlow on a beeline for Samoa Joe.
Yes.
So the tag guys need to actually get a dub over Samoa Joe. They pin Swerve Strickland because of a miscommunication between Joe and Strickland. That makes Strickland even more mad at Joe. Or maybe they win by count out. Joe gets him count out. Like, he just decides that he's fed up on it. But like, they need to get a win over Joe here. They need to prove to Joe why they're a thorn in his side. Joe leaves this match completely uninterested in anything that Adam Cole and his goober friends have to offer, other than this Wardlow guy. And even then, it's kind of like, you know, who cares about Matt Taven and Michael Bennett then?
Yes. No, I got that too. I'm going to circle back to Revolution.
I just wanted to pick that up. Yeah.
No. Well, I have another general broader thing on this quote unquote new Dynamite that I thought was just, it blew my mind when I realized what I was seeing. But on that triple threat, boy, AEW did that thing that I liked the match, but they did that thing I hate in the aftermath, which is commentary tells me that they were telling a story that they didn't bother to tell on TV, which was our brilliant idea of Hangman just tapping out to ruin it for Swerve. They did not tell that story at all in that match.
It was as though Excalibur had that thought on deck that like, and he realized that you could kind of shoehorn that in, that you could shoehorn this whole, did Adam Page tap out to thwart Swerve Strickland? Like, you could kind of just plant that seed out there, but they didn't tell that story, man.
No.
Not nowhere near enough.
I was mad at that when he said that, because I go, that was the idea that we were plugging time.
Yeah, we said we had two ideas last week. And sort of they both came out. Like, you have morality play, where Joe punishes Swerve for not being good enough, and Joe punishes Adam Page for being too bad. Then you have this one where Swerve and Paige hate each other so much that they cost each other their chance.
Yeah.
And they didn't really, they did a little bit of that, but nowhere near enough of that. And I think it really, I mean, towards the end, there needed to be a sequence where it was just kind of bang, 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 but that like both of them could win this title. And they just kept costing each other the title.
Go ahead, sir.
I mean, maybe even have, you know, Paige lay out Joe with like brass knuckles or something like that, and basically have him be dead weight for these two to be scrambling over for like, you know, a minute.
Takeshita Osprey was sublime, but it should have led to a full-on, full-show story about Fletcher and Osprey fighting each other as part of this whole Don Callis family feud thing that they're doing. And we'll get to that when we get to, you know, anything else in Dynamite. But my favorite moment of the entire show was on the pre-show, Chris. And it's unrepentant stupidity, and I love it. They did a 12-man tag team with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang versus Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Satnam, Sanjay, Private Party, and Willie Mack. And Jeff Jarrett and the other six members of his team on the outside all simultaneously do the Fargo strut. And watching Willie Mack and Private Party with these other Island of Misfit toys. I don't care when he retires, but we have to announce Jeff Jarrett's final match. And at that stadium, wherever it is, I need an entire section of people doing the Fargo strut in One Direction with Jeff Jarrett at this. This man, I can't wait for. I forget if it's Collision or Rampage.
He should be the next guy that they give the sting treatment to.
Yes,
I'm not even joking.
I'm loving this run, even though everybody is scared to death of giving him a title, that he's going to get one.
He can still go and tell stories. And I think, like, if you enjoyed what we got out of Sting, Jeff Jarrett's a guy you can do that redemption arc thing with and make the final chapter the best chapter.
They could start with this brawl that they're doing with Lethal Jarrett and Mark Briscoe against the House of Black.
But yeah, I would, you know, if I'm on the creative team for AEW, I mean, I want to see obviously what Jarrett's plans are or whatever, but I'm thinking about pitching this to him, because let's not forget, prior to Sting doing this AEW run, again, more flowers for AEW here on their handling of Sting, Sting's reputation was at one level, and this final chapter bumped it up another notch.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff Jarrett absolutely could get that same sort of thing.
Your turn. We can go anywhere you want.
Right. Yeah, I don't have a lot else to say. Like, Deonna Purrazzo versus Timeless Tony Storm. Yeah.
That was a pure WWE match. It was
right.
Yeah, I hated the booking, and they're like, oh, you know, she was screwed, but we're going to move on to the next feud. I'm like, all right. Then this whole thing was pointless anyways.
Yeah, you know, I can't say much for the build, but at least the match sucked.
Next.
All right. NXT. I know it's fun to hate, but let me tell you, pal, if you don't go and watch this opening match between Dijak and Joe Gacy this
week. Oh, I saw parts of this. This was good.
You are doing yourself a fine disservice, because this is a cage match with weapons. All of these things would seem like textbook things Chris Novembrino does not like. Let me tell you, pal, Joe Gacy is a little mini Mick Foley. He's good. He's a good seller. He's a good underdog babyface seller. And Dijak is fantastic. He is so good. And
I love that dude. I just wish they'd give him something better to do.
Holy hell. Jeff, he does this top rope moonsault off the cage. It's one of the cleanest top rope moonsaults I have ever seen. And yeah. Like, he comes down on Joe Gacy. He's got his knees like down enough to give Joe Gacy protection. I mean, the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome." After that, it was an authentic, very earned, like, wow, I can't believe we just saw that. Dijak's insane. He's incredible. And I can only imagine in the house, given that that's a smaller house, that looked even more unbelievable. It looked fantastic on television. Just a really great match. A predictable outcome. Dijak's going to prevail over Gacy here. No surprise if you've been following this feud, but a match that 100% is worth your time.
My only NXT thing was Kairi Sane's elbow is still one of the most amazing moves. that when you watch her, when she throws her hip into it, you watch in slow motion, it's fantastic. But I'm going to go to SmackDown. And as we kind of alluded to earlier, WWE is a little loosey-goosey, and it's a little bit fun right now. In terms of everybody doing everything, that SmackDown was pretty damn good. You had the Rock Roman thing. Tiffany Stratton had a very nice showing against Naomi. She is going to main event for the women next year at WrestleMania. She is getting over like Rover. That Australian crowd for Perth for the Elimination Chamber loved her. The whole Tiffy time, toodles, you know, disingenuous heel thing works for her. She has her character down. You know, there are some growing pains in there, but she's getting the hang of not being intimidated by a main event house, like 12,000 people.
And she's got a very high pain threshold, yes, which always bodes well for her just like learning stuff. She's not scared to get hurt, so she's going to take her lumps, she'll take her bumps, and I think she'll get better.
While it could have been done better, I liked the the shot that I called, but I liked the turn on Bayley by Dakota Kai. And I loved, you know, there's stupid baby faces, and then there's baby faces that realize I'm the one who screwed up. And that's what I loved about the Bayley reaction to Dakota Kai dropping off the apron, is instead of going, why'd you do that to me? Bayley just goes, damn it. You know, like, I'm the one who trusted her. I'm stupid. All right, I'm going to fire up and I'm going to go after Asuka and Kairi. And it was a nice little fiery one woman baby face before, of course, the numbers games kicks in and she gets beat. Look, it wasn't the Horseman beatdown I wanted necessarily, but it'll do. I think it was kind of ill placed right after, you know, after that Rock Roman segment, which probably should have ended the show, to be honest with you.
Middle of the show, because Cody and Seth need to come out and respond to it. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I think, like, I would have, you know, a note on that is I would have actually had Cody and Seth maybe interrupt at the end of that Bloodline promo and kind of like glue those pieces together.
Yeah, but no, SmackDown was the Corey Graves Wade Barrett combination works.
It does.
As a play-by-play color thing, even though, you know, it's really two color guys out there. I mean,
Wade's play-by-play-y enough as the heel, and Corey, like, they both.
Corey was basically doing play-by-play for Kevin Patrick, so he knows what he's doing when he's playing the straight man.
Yes, and he knows how to balance, like, he knows how to sort of, like, wear both hats. And Wade wears both hats. And so, like, I think they work really nicely together. Swing back to NXT, I like the Charlie Dempsey William Regal interaction.
Yeah, no, that was fun. And they kind of corpsed a bit. It's kind of cute, and I'll accept that. Although it was kind of weird, where it's like he's laughing when he goes, "I'll defend this better than you ever did," type of a thing.
Yeah, than you ever could. Which is, I mean, like, you know,
Damon Kemp's a star, though.
God, Damon Kemp! Oh, come on, man! Like let's get this guy some gold. Like, let's figure out how to make this guy a thing.
Like, don't get me wrong. I like Gulak, but Gulak's he's not phoning it in, but, you know, he's kind of the known quantity in this crew, and he's not doing anything over the top to make himself stand out. But Kemp doing all the talking and stuff, I'm just like, dude, let's forget about Damon's brother. Let's just move on with our lives, and let's give Damon Kemp a chance here, guys.
Yeah, no, he's really interesting. After WrestleMania, he's a guy I would love to see kind of called up and integrated into this roster in a meaningful way. He's just a star, you know, like he can go too. Like, he's a good wrestler.
He has a good he's a good athlete.
But we've seen him have a number of good matches. NXT's on a nice little uptick. Tony D'Angelo is such a weird quantity to me. He is not a bad wrestler, and yet his matches don't do anything for me.
Right, and his gimmick is way, way over the top.
The gimmick gets really tedious, right? Like, it's
the
like
one gimmick of the gets in the way because they don't do the actual gimmick. They're too busy trying to do the Sopranos homages. Hey, Gabagool, blah 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 blah.
I got me a lawyer. I require absolute loyalty and no questions.
As opposed to being an actual mob boss that's in this actual world. I know there are people now yelling at whatever audio device going, Jeff, what Hawkins, what are you doing? What do you mean actual mob boss in NXT? Yes, he's an actual mob boss who came to NXT and is using wrestling as his, much like Duke the Dumpster Drozzy was a trash man.
Much like the Repo Man was in fact a repossession specialist,
but
who moonlit as a wrestler.
But look, we make fun of that stuff, but there is connection to old school gimmicks, like, you know, your assassins and your Mr. Wrestling 1 and 2, or like, we wear these masks.
You could go another way that's more subtle, right?
Yes,
like, you could just have the fact that, like, these guys are all Italian American wrestlers, right? You have Crucifino, Stax Lorenzo, and Tony D'Angelo. And you can have Tony D'Angelo operate and think like a mob boss.
Yes.
And these guys have the dynamic, not doing a mafioso sitting in front of a plate of meatballs every segment sort of like approach to this, but instead just like D'Angelo sits around and he thinks and acts like he's the leader. And Rizzo, in my formulation of this, would be like essentially his, like, you know, black hand. Like, she's the one who actually like gets stuff done or whatever.
Yeah.
Lorenzo is essentially the footy, even though he thinks like he's the number two. And then the Crucifino is like, I guess, you know, also the footy, maybe the ultimate footy, you know, like he's number four.
Just for my last NXT comment, my heart's breaking, Chris, because JC Jane and Thea Hale are about to come to blows.
Oh yeah, they are. Oh yeah, they are.
I love this combination, and they're already bringing them up.
I'm more sad, like, not sad. I just think it's dumb that you don't just turn all of Chase U heel at this point.
Or like back heel, because they were heels originally, weren't they?
Yeah, they right, right, and yeah. And I think they've lost the thread with the whole internal. Can we all agree that the internal corruption scandal was stupid and pointless and did not help anything with this?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Dynamite. And I'm going to put something to you here, Chris.
Do it.
Then we have a new set. We have the tunnels.
That is true.
We have a new theme song, which sounds vaguely like Union Underground's Raw theme. During the Attitude Era, lights, the money, and this together. That one.
Oh, okay.
Move to the music.
I thought you were talking about the cool one from like the Raw's War era.
Oh no. Oh, the Booyah Tribe, I think it was. I don't know if it was, but it might have been. There's a Booyah Tribe. Yeah, no. A little bit after that, where
oh, yeah,
like,
right, yeah.
Maybe the 2010s
move
or something
to
like
the music.
That.
Yeah, like
yeah,
Daniel,
that one.
All right, yeah.
I mean, it's like they went to Ruckus and went, we want something that sounds like that. And then they came out, they did a 20-minute opening promo, which led to, let me holla at you, playa. Mixed, we gotta have ourselves a tag match with can they coexist storyline with the world champion and his number one contender versus the tag champions,
which we've annihilated already.
And
on
then
show.
we're getting a random hardcore match, but instead of Kane and Bob Holly, it's Hook and Brian Cage. This felt like a Raw from like 10 to 15 years ago. And I couldn't help but notice it. Am I off base here?
No. The no reason hardcore match between two guys is very like 2015, 2014. Like Vince loved that crap back then. Dolph Ziggler was in a million of those. That was like Dolph Ziggler's signature match after they were done trying to push him. It was like, you get to be in the Memphis Musicland street fight. All right, you get to be in the New Orleans Jazzland street fight. All right, you get to be in the Detroit Rock City
Miracle on 34th Street street fight, yeah, or whatever, for Christmas. You know, the Symphony of Destruction match.
Mm-hmm. I was alluding to there's a lot of music themed ones.
Yeah,
and then of course, you know, Dolph Ziggler in our favorite one, like Thanksgiving turmoil or whatever you would call it.
Clout vampire Chris Jericho doing his anti-Randy Orton legend killer gimmick, but instead he's going after the sons and daughters of people he either teamed or feuded with in the early days.
Prospect killer Chris Jericho.
Prospect killer Chris Jericho. I thought he was going to, when he cut that promo about Hook, I go, and I fought your father, Taz, and now I'm going to fight you and teach you violence like I did with Lannis Jr. last week. Oh my God. I think it's the second time we've done the, because I think he did this with La Sex Gods when they went into that tag team tournament. the partners who are eventually going to feud with one another. Here we are, Chris Jericho again, and some young
guy. This guy just changes from heel to babyface. I've lost the thread entirely with what the Chris Jericho story is anymore. And he's just there.
Your go, sir.
So we talked about a big chunk of, it's like there was the good part of Dynamite, and then there was the Monday Night Raw from 10 years ago, like part of Dynamite.
Well,
and
okay, let's talk about the main event then.
Okay.
Because don't get me wrong, it was a very, very good match between Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay. My problem, and look, I'm already a little prone to not like modern day indie style of this kind. So I'm not saying this was a bad match. I'm not saying it wasn't smooth. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, because I did. I have a nitpick though, Chris, and there were no stakes in this match. And there should have been some residual stakes from the Sunday pay-per-view that were played upon throughout the show. Maybe Takeshita's in Kyle Fletcher's ear about, hey, we can't let this guy come in here and take over the Callis family while we've been holding up. Whatever. We need some sort of state. And then during the match, these guys are friends. We've established that as part of this thing. They are stable mates in Aussie Open and
United Empire.
Thank you.
Yeah, but doubled down on this twice. They did this on the show where they did the United Empire thing. Then they hugged during this match, and it's like, okay, so I guess you're just gonna break Fletcher and Ospreay off. I don't
know, but here's what was my problem with this is that the emotion never went to another level for either guy. It's like there was no hesitation on Will Ospreay's part that, hey, I'm trying to basically kill my best friend here. And there's no anger coming out of Fletcher after like a poison Rana, which in kayfabe can break your neck or whatever, especially the super poison Rana from the top rope. He's not getting angry and then like punching his friend or anything. They're just going to the next set of moves, big moves that they can then cut, you know, they can kick out at two at, and eventually get to the, oh, I'm so tired, finish me, hit me with the fighting spirit, you know, finale type of thing. There wasn't a lot of emotion in this match. It was a great, great match, but it felt me feeling cold a little bit. Yeah. And I tuned out a little bit onto the phone while it's like, okay, I only have to wait for the first kick out at two, and then we'll be there.
Right.
Because yeah, it didn't. And look, that's on me. I get it. It's my personal predilections, and what I like in professional wrestling is a lot of build and then the great match. So I wanted more build for this match. I wanted build throughout the entire show of, you know, how is Fletcher going to treat his friend now that he's back here?
Why not have an interview between Ospreay and Fletcher leading into our main event?
Yes.
Sit-down. You have a sit-down segment with these two guys. Renee is sitting between them.
Or even Callis is sitting there, and he's kind of playing favorites with one and not the other or something like that.
Yeah, better yet, Callis is trying to manipulate the interview from Renee the entire time.
Yes,
so like
something.
These two guys, yeah, I mean, but this is your main event.
And we're
make
also,
it feel like a main event.
Yes, and we're also telling the story of Ospreay going through all the Callis family before he turns babyface, because I assume he's going to be going after Will Hobbs at some point. You know, let's tell that story. And
sure.
It's,
yeah, right. And Callis should be the guy who's also goading all of these people to fight. You need to
He should be a sadist or for his own personal amusement.
Right, right. Like in particular.
And Ospreay
Ospreay
should be the one who sees through it or something.
Right.
It's
right.
Just...
That would actually be really good, is you have this like promo where Fletcher doesn't see what Callis is doing here, but Ospreay does.
Yes.
And so like he, you know, he's getting him psyched up, and Ospreay doesn't want to rock the boat at this particular moment, but you just see the gears turning in this guy leading into the match. And so when he's hugging Fletcher, it's from a true point of love. Fletcher is hugging him kind of like a heel who loves his friend. You know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
like it's not quite the same thing. And then they have the match. And then the other thing that I think is important, like you're stressing on this too, but I think this, even if you're a proponent of the indie style of match, another thing that needs to port onto that, right, is just basic friend psychology, which is the beginning of the match, they're kid gloving around a little bit. And then somebody crosses the effing line.
Yes.
And then a bunch of other drama, all of a sudden, now the dam is broken. Now, you know, it's now we're saying things to each other that we've been holding back for 10 years.
Yes, now we're getting real.
We're getting, yeah, we're, or at least we're getting deep.
Or we have some things that we need to resolve.
Yeah.
And we gotta do it right now.
Yeah.
Then we can move on with our friendship after I beat you type of a thing. Yeah, I agree. It's just,
get them and at that point, you know, it's just a different psychology, but these two guys should be jaw-jacking each other. And we don't necessarily even need to fully understand the story, but like they're angry. Like they're, you know, and sloppy at this point too. At this point, I mean, once you have that Poison Rana moment, let's say, that's where the dam should break. And these guys are just on top of each other, just wailing on each other.
No, I agree with that. And I will say AEW needs to figure out its commercial breaks. This thing had, I think, two commercial breaks in the last segment. And that's why people, I think, were also partially dropping off. No offense to picture in picture.
No, but it makes a predictability facet. No.
Yes.
Offense to picture in picture. Picture in picture basically serves as a wall that you don't need to give a crap before.
Right. I concur with that. I got no other notes other than Drew McIntyre's awesome. But your turn.
Drew continues to be excellent. What else is good on? I mean, there's some other good stuff on Raw.
Write a lot of notes about Raw. I just remember watching it, and it was an easier watch than most. It's still hard at 3 hours. I don't watch it live. I watch it about an hour going in, and then I fast forward through commercials so that it goes a little quicker.
Ivar continues to be
He
continues to be a really welcome presence on this show. I know like they're not going to do anything big with him, but like, damn, every time Ivar's getting TV time, he's giving us a great match.
Dom and Gunther.
Oh, God.
I adored this match.
They were so good. They're so good together. I want Dom to demand a rematch. I want Dom.
I almost had him.
A perverse chase. Yes.
The Black Knight from Monty Python, the Holy Grail. It was just a splash wound.
No, he caught me off balance. This is actually pretty close when I watched back on the tape.
Yeah. You know, we were doing some tape breakdown.
I did some really good things. I see a lot of places I can build off of.
Oh, like, my God.
He needs to come back from this completely convinced that, like, this was close and that he needs another shot at this.
I liked this better than the Benoit-David Flair match where we were all getting a little bit uncomfortable watching how bad Benoit was beating up on the kid. Dom just flew around. Like a dope, and I loved it. I loved every moment of this match.
He's so good at this character. Like
the danger is he never gets out of this character. That's the thing where he becomes a highly skilled wrestler type of a thing.
Right? No, I know. Like
he becomes the Miz.
You know? And, he's so good though as the fail son of a luchador. Like.
You're right, and I hate to laugh at that, but it's true right
no,
now.
No, he is like the perfect, like this wrestling style that he's doing is textbook what you would expect the fail son of a luchador to do.
It's like I went to follow my father's.
Yeah, I know. I watched there. I watched the Frog Splash. I watched the Hurricane Rana, and I just sort of think it's my birthright to be like good at them.
Yeah, it's like
and
watching...
I'm not. I'm actually by birthright, so to speak. Genetics only got me to mid. You actually have to do the work to go from mid to good.
It's like watching Scott Kahn. You know, he ain't his old man. Type of a thing. You know, it's one of those. You know, the sons of great actors who are like. Put on this thing. It's like, you know, you know, you like them and they're good, but they're not quite what their father was, you know, with the exception of, I like Jared Harris, Richard Harris's kid. He's great. But like Colin Hanks, you know, that kind of actor there, you know, they're very good at being kind of mid, but they still have some talent. And I am pro Pat McAfee. I think Pat McAfee is such a wild card in terms of almost being, you know, a child who is surprised by and just
There's
a loose
something,
cannon.
when he's bringing good stuff to the show and he's engaged in him, this is a thing, increased
It's hit and
reps,
miss. It's hit and
it's
miss,
hit
but
and miss,
yeah.
but the more reps you get, the higher his accuracy gets. So it's kind of like you just got to let him play through his mistakes. But this looser vibe on Raw and SmackDown, these commentary teams are just able to breathe a lot better. Vic,
Michael Cole has loosened up quite a bit too, and that's
yes.
nice. I mean, don't get me
Oh,
wrong,
he caught.
the Antlers is a little much, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah, no, he calls the match. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? Like, he actually calls the moves and stuff. And like,
Yeah.
we get, you know, good commentary, Michael Cole, that we've definitely heard in the past. And Vic and Booker, like, Booker sucks, but Vic is so good at managing Booker that it's actually very, Vic is unbelievably gifted. He's a
Vic is
very,
the best Margaret Dumont you can have. I mean, maybe not even Margaret Dumont. I'm trying to think of like a classic straight man that just has a wild man for a partner, and the wild man gets all the accolades because he's the funny one, but it's really the straight man keeping him in check that is doing that. Like, who's a good comedy team for that type of a thing? You know,
Yeah,
almost.
no. If anyone likes Booker, it's entirely because Vic does such a good job editing. He's doing live editing of Booker's random crap.
Yeah, he's going, how can I make this dumb thing he just said work in the
Funny.
context of this
Yes.
right now?
And like, part of that has been callbacks to previous stupid crap that Booker has said that like Vic will bring back up, and like, he basically redeems stupid crap by making it a running joke. Like, if Vic is.
Like, Vic is waiting there for Booker to cross the line, which Booker does occasionally with Vic. And then Vic will have a comeback about something that crosses the line in Booker T's life, and Booker will shut up all of a sudden.
Yes.
He's like, "Oh, there's the smack on the nose right there. I shouldn't have gone there." Yeah, you shouldn't have. And Vic is perfectly in control of Booker at times. And you know, it's I know like Brian Alvarez loves Booker T on color because he is such a wild card. I can't take him. I have to mute him sometimes because he's just.
Pat McAfee's version of being a wild card, good. Booker T's version of
Yeah.
being a wild card,
Booker T's is like he got a
like in
note.
business. He's in business for himself.
Yes.
Like, yeah, like,
He got a
yeah,
note
he.
to be energetic, and then somebody laughed at his jokes backstage, and so he decided to keep doing it type of a thing. Whereas McAfee comes off as more of a fan in the crowd. Like he's sitting in the crowd watching the show.
And
And
he's
he's.
just got things to say, and the things that he has to say are funny.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have nothing else. You?
I don't think I have anything else.
Okay.
I mean, I just on balance, this has been one of the most entertaining weeks of wrestling
Agreed.
to watch across the board,
We are
all
poly
shows.
positives this week. It's been kind of amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like, no, it was refreshing. Everything was enjoyable. You know, there were, you know, some things didn't dazzle me or whatever, but like, I didn't leave any of the shows, Dynamite, the pay-per-view, Raw, NXT, none of them left me drained at the end. I was like, those are entertaining. I didn't love everything, but the stuff that I liked, I really liked, you know, and then the stuff that we had notes on, that's why we do a radio show.
Yep. We have not been fed-pilled prior to or contrary to what's been rumored.
I think
You
we've been awe-pilled, if anything,
can
based on the feedback. I mean, like, you've become this ridiculous AEW stan here during the course of this
Yeah,
broadcast.
and you taught me about improv, so I thank you for
Oh yeah, well, I like, look,
that.
if you keep it up, one of these days you will acquire some of the comedic chops of your old pal Novi here. And if you just kind of look out there, What I like to say is you find the funny.
All right, let me get my outro out of here. You can follow me on X at CrapGame13. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. I update that when a new show goes up. Nothing more for the most part. You can follow Novi here at Dr. Nov. That's DOCTOR_NOV on Instagram and Instagram only. We are part of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. All of your wrestling fandoms are covered by some sort of podcast or some article on the website. Join the Discord. Come into our channel. Talk crap about us. We'll give it back. and you know all the shows, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, the Good Bad, the Hungy, the flagship with Joe and Rich. I am on another network, and I did a crap load of shows over there this past week because I did a pre show with the Power Bombshells, and I did the Fight Game Media. That is the name of the network, Fight Game Media. Revolution post show with Garrett Gonzalez and a couple other guys. I also do the Dynamite show on Wednesdays with Paul Fontaine. That goes up on YouTube Live at about 20 minutes after Dynamite ends and then goes on your podcatchers the next morning. Thorough deconstruction of every segment of AEW plus any news that has come up during the week. Chris has hobbies too. While I'm just doing all this wrestling podcasting, he has a life. He's going to tell you about it now.
Yeah. I work at the Sandia Peak Tramway. I will be playing a show at Sandia Peak Aerial Tramway for the relaunch of the new Mecha Tram 2.0. I have been told it has been fitted with lasers to take out aircraft and or lasers. Small lasers, freaking lasers on this tram now. Space age technology, Japanese manuals to the tram. That's not a joke. They're getting translated right now. And yes, I will be playing at Sandia Peak Aero Tramway next Thursday. Mark it in your calendars. March 14th, Alpha Tramway. You know where the tram is if you're in Albuquerque. And if you're not in Albuquerque, great opportunity to come and check out the city. You can get tickets online by using Expedia.com, among other fine vending websites that sell tickets. American Airlines, Alaska Airlines, a lot of different airlines out there that you could check out and fly out to check out this gig. I also teach music lessons. You can find those music lessons or you message me about those on Instagram. People have been booking more music lessons recently. I have new students, and so that's always exciting. I've been kind of getting back into the swing of teaching here, and that's been fun. You can also follow my other life adventures on the gram here. Good and bad, I do post them onto the gram. Not like everything, but you know, like I try to like be a little real about my life. So if you're interested in that crap, follow me there. Otherwise, keep on shooting for the stars, everybody, and know that I love you.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.